If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. This is Alex.
Hey.
Angelo, just put some more joy into it. Welcome in, guys. Welcome to another episode. And Angelo is feeling really sad right now. I'm not sure why. Maybe I know. Maybe it's the fact that your fraud of a team, or teams in this case, the fraudulent teams that you liked so much, all got eliminated. As I said, they would.
They didn't just get eliminated. Like, none of the games were close.
No, they got humiliated.
Except the Rams Lions. That's the only game that was close.
Yeah, but that one wasn't really, like, a fraud team. The fraud teams were your Philadelphia Eagles and your Dallas Cowboys. Oh, now that I'm saying Cowboys, Angelo. Sorry, I was choking. Whenever I hear about the Cowboys, I always start choking up. It's just a gag reflex, I guess, right?
So I knew it was going to be a bad week when Saturday occurred and my furnace went out. I don't know. It's probably not cold where you are. But do you know the conditions in the Kansas City game?
Oh, yeah.
That's about what it is here.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as cold in here. But yeah, it's definitely that feels very cold.
I have new new bars of cold. Like right now I'm sitting here in sweatpants, a t-shirt, and a hoodie. Like I have a hoodie on to record. Yesterday when I was watching TV, I could see my breath. When I went to microwave my breakfast this morning, there was steam coming out of the microwave.
You know what? It's funny that, like, for example, here it is nearly as cold. Like a very bad day for us. It's like, I don't know, 2-3 degrees Celsius, which I guess that's translated to Fahrenheit. It's not that word that bad. But the thing is, here the houses have barely no insulation. So, like, for example, the cold really gets inside, like, the houses are really badly built in Portugal. So I guess it's not as bad here, but I guess it's equivalent to, because, for example, that happens to me. The one thing that you were talking about, that when you were talking, you were seeing the sort of like frostiness coming out. That happens a lot here as well. And it's like, really? It's just par for the norm. Yeah.
How the fuck do you deal with it? I hate this shit.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, usually just having heating inside the house, like, and it's not great.
No, that's not an option right now. The people come Friday. The people come Friday, and they're going to give me an estimate on new furnace and AC.
And it's like, you're saying you're in hoodie and you have the sweatpants. It's like, that's how I usually am dressed for this episode. So, yeah. Yeah, sometimes.
But yeah, I knew it was going to be a bad week when the furnace went out. I had no heat, and then I got to what was the first game that I watched? I think the Dallas game, and I was just like, "Oh,
you didn't watch any of the Browns game?"
No, I did not watch the Browns get decimated. I watched the first half, and then I was like, "Oh, this shit's over." When I stopped.
It's the Browns game, although there's not a whole lot to talk about because
I think Joe Flacco. In the first half I watched, Joe Flacco did not play bad. The defense could not stop anything.
Yeah, that was the main issue. And it was one, like, I know I sat here and said that basically the Browns were the pick. And for most of the week, I really didn't see a whole lot of pushback on that. Like, if there was one game that it was almost unanimous, was that the Browns were going to win and cover the line. And it was, in fact, it was the game that went completely the other way. Like, Eagles, for example, were a bigger shock. Dallas was a bigger shock. But I saw people picking the opposite line. Like, I saw no one picking the Texans, and they came out and they just dominated. And although I did say that Stroud struggles versus man coverage and he struggles versus pressure, one thing that it's also true is the Browns defense doesn't really travel that well. So it was one thing that we maybe should have considered in that line. But still, I mean, at the end of the day, Flacco did throw there like two pick sixes, didn't he?
That's fair.
Yeah. Yes. So
I got a new one. My Pepsi tastes like Dr. Pepper. That's how cold it is. Anyway, go on, Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, just the picks. Yeah, the pick sixes really were killers. But, like, for the most part, I really can't take anything away from
Stroud. Those didn't happen until the second half, though, right? Like, it was 21 to, like, 7 by the time those happened,
yeah,
right?
But, like, that's still manageable. Like, 21-7 is manageable. 21, what? 21, no, not 21, but, like, when you have on, like, the 14 points, it's, like, 35-7.
35-7,
you're like, that's not as manageable. But yeah, like, take nothing away from Stroud. I mean, 157 QB rating, 3 touchdowns, 274 yards passing, just 16 of 21, very efficient, 13.0 yards per attempt, just really efficient. And then the run game was okay. I mean, Singletary at 66 yards, like, the rest didn't do much, but the run game did enough to the point in which they managed to control the game, and they got the dub. I mean,
Brevin Jordan had that huge ass reception for like 70 yards. Nico Collins just destroyed him. And Tank Dell. Was it Tank Dell? Who was the other wide receiver that was destroying him along with Nico?
John Metchie got 44 yards. But that's basically it. Like, no one else really did
so
anything.
It was Nico.
It's like,
okay, it was Nico and that one reception for Brevin. Okay, go on.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I believe, Dalton Schultz also had a big one for 37 yards.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, they got the big plays at the end of the day. I mean, if you look at the game, it was like two pick sixes, that's 14 points. They had a long touchdown to Brevin Jordan, a long touchdown to Dalton Schultz. I mean, that's what? That's 28 points? I mean,
right there.
They scored 45, so that's roughly half of the points that they scored, or a bit more than half of the points that they scored. At the end of the day, they got the big plays. Browns really couldn't get going. This Browns team lived off the big plays as well when they had Flacco at the helm. It was like, it was the ability of just having Flacco shug it deep. And it's funny that it's one of those traits that it's close to a Josh Allen that we'll talk about later. That it's just like, you can live with the interceptions as long as you also get the big plays. And that's how they went the later part of the season with Flacco. In this game, they just didn't get the long plays, and they got the interceptions.
So, like, I'll go back to one of the late games that they played. Flacco had two interceptions.
Yes.
They both came in the first half, and one of them was literally as the clock was winding to zero at halftime.
Yes.
These did not happen in that situation. These happened while they were down, trying to come back. No. They were terrible interceptions.
Yeah, they were. Anyway, and there's some games in which he threw like a few big ducks that you could just see that they weren't good throws. But as I said, when you get the big plays and you get the long touchdowns, you can live with the interceptions. This one, it's just the interceptions, and they died by the Flacco. Flacco became the Fluco.
Yeah.
It's like a Cinderella story.
It's unfortunate. It's okay. It just means the Houston Texans have to be the one to beat Baltimore in the first round. It's all good.
It's all good. It's funny that you think that can happen. Oh. Yeah, that's the only thing that can still hold your bracket there. It's like, If the Ravens for some reason don't win this game, you can maybe hang on to that. That's the thing that you're hanging on to.
Yeah, if the Ravens for some reason beat the Texans, you know.
No, no, that if the Texans for some reason beat the Ravens.
No. It's the other way around.
That's the only thing that you can live with. Then I guess we can talk about the first frauds here. Of the season. The Miami Dolphins.
Can't you really call them frauds? Like, those were... I'm willing to give them and Pittsburgh to an extent a pass because of the conditions they played in.
You know how you wouldn't get those conditions?
What was that?
If you hadn't blundered the division and the second overall seed versus the Bills. Yeah.
Not wrong.
Hurts.
You're not wrong about that. You're acting like I picked them. I didn't pick them. I knew what was going to happen.
No, you didn't pick them. You picked them on the spread, though.
Just like I know that Kansas City is about to beat Buffalo. And you're just going to have to accept that.
I'm going to push back on that, but we'll see. We'll see.
You're going to have to accept it. You're going to have to accept it.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, as I said, the minute this team faced adversity, it was done. And here they faced an adversity in terms of the weather. And I know you'll say it was extreme and it was all of this and all of that.
But Mahomes' helmet literally cracked underneath the cold.
Yes, that is true. However, I would point out that maybe that's not a complete excuse for your offense just completely shutting down. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, Mahomes and the Kansas City offense still put up, what, 26 points? Yeah, 26 points. Pacheco still went off. Rice
looks really good.
Pacheco still went 24 carries, 89 yards, and a touchdown. Mahomes still threw for a touchdown, threw for 262 yards. And it's funny that coaches will show you what they think of their QBs when the going gets rough. And I think you saw that with Tua. And it was, they needed to throw the ball and win the game because the game plan at first wasn't that conservative because they really didn't rush the ball that much. Like, they rushed the ball 6 times with Achane and they rushed the ball 8 times with Mostert. And that's basically it. And it's like, you look at the game plan for passing and it's all short stuff. It's like, the coach knows that the QB can't really make those big deep throws. So it's just gonna be the
short. It was negative like 20. Why would you want to throw that ball deep?
Because you're losing the game and you need to make a big play. This team lived off the big plays more than any other team in the league. And when the going got rough.
Negative 20. Yes. It was negative 20, Alex.
Yes. It was. But you know what team also threw the ball and let their QB take the chances? The Kansas City Chiefs. You know what? Because they trust their QB in the playoffs. And I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm pretty sure that Mike McDaniels knows what he has in Tua. And he doesn't trust Tua completely. And this is now...
I think you're being a little bit unfair to you.
And this is now, the Dolphins haven't won a single playoff game since 2000. It is what it is, man. This team was never built. It's a team that was built for the regular season. And it's fun because the offense is explosive and they'll get the big plays. And Tyreek Hill is fun. And they have Mostert and they have Achane. And it's all fun. It's all fun and dandy with this team, but in the regular season, when the going got rough, when they got to the playoffs, it was over. I mean, unless they were playing at home every single game, you know this team would have zero chance at actually doing anything in the playoffs. And it's just sad, really.
Well, then they had to go to Kansas City. That was negative 20 at the time.
Yes, you know what they should have done? They should have beat Buffalo.
I don't disagree with that, but I mean, saying that this is a huge statement when they played in, like, unideal weather, it's not. It's really not.
It's not okay. Just like, it's one thing to lose because you're playing in that weather. It's another thing that your offense that was just so highly touted scored like 7 points at less than what, 250 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
It's just true. Like, I can understand if like they took a small downgrade, but they went from being
I don't know. Like, to be honest, most of their guys are skinny, fast dudes. You took a cheetah and you put him in the tundra. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So maybe win games to win your division. I guess it's that simple. Huh?
I don't disagree with that. They should have won against Buffalo. But don't worry, Kansas City's got them.
Maybe it's not even Buffalo, but I don't know. Maybe beat the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe beat the Tennessee Titans. Maybe.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Maybe beats, I don't know, the Chiefs when the conditions weren't that bad. Maybe beat the other fraud team that I guess we can talk about next, the Philadelphia Eagles. No. So how about those Eagles, Angelo?
Pretty rough.
Yeah.
I think the defense was more disappointing than the offense. Because the defense like looked like it couldn't stop anything.
No, it didn't offense... just look. They couldn't stop anyone. They couldn't stop you and me, probably.
Oh, that's pretty rough, dude. I think you might be a little too harsh on the Eagles' defense right now.
Too harsh?
Too harsh.
You know what Ray Lewis said? When Ray Lewis joined the Manning cast when the game was going on, so he joined the Manning brothers in that last broadcast.
Uh huh.
And this is what he said. and I'll quote: "Guys, listen. Let me say this: practicing tackling every day is based on angles. When you see the angles of these guys." Wrong. And the way they approach tackling, it's crazy. Like, nobody plays together. Put them in a cup. If you put them guys in a cup, you're not going to see big plays like this. But everybody's playing individual ball. And that's insane to me. And he was just going off and off and off and off. And it's like, he had like more quotes about it. And it's like, he also said, that's why sometimes I get outside and I go sit on my water because I can't deal with this type of stuff, Peyton. Like what? Like, it's crazy. Like,
are you telling me that Ray Lewis said that the Philadelphia Eagles defense was so shit that he couldn't watch them anymore?
Yes. He essentially said that he was done watching that. And it was a disgrace, to be honest. Like, you look at that defense, and there's touchdowns there. The touchdown with Trey Palmer. Like, you're paying millions of dollars to James Bradbury, and you're paying millions of dollars for a guy that you trade during the season in Kevin Byard. And those two guys were put in a blender by a rookie. Rookie sixth rounder? Like, completely evaded James
Bradbury. I thought he was a 1 year.
What?
Palmer, Trey Palmer. Is he really a rookie? I thought he was like a 1 year.
I think you're confusing. You're confusing them with Joshua Palmer, probably.
Probably
the guy from the Chargers. I believe he's a second year player. But yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. Trey Palmer is the rookie from the Buccaneers.
Okay, go on.
And I mean, it was just a disgrace. Like everything down the middle, it was an easy completion. They couldn't really stop the run. They didn't really even look like they were trying, to be honest. Like, Rashad White just could get the ball at will. The one big thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is, like, they couldn't run down the middle throughout the whole season, regular season. And their fans were pretty upset about it because the game plan seemed very conservative. You watched like the first few plays of that drive, and it's like they could do whatever they want. If they want to run down the middle, they can. I mean, the first play, it went like for 9 yards, a run down the middle. If they want to pass down the middle, it's okay. They can get it. I mean, Kate Otten got like three big plays down the middle. And like the game was 32-9, and although it was a bit closer than that for most of the game, because I believe like for most of the third quarter, like it was 16-9, so it wasn't really that far away in terms of like how the score ended and how most of the game went. But you really didn't saw a whole lot of fight in this Eagles team. It felt like a team that knew what I said all along, that they were frauds and they weren't really there to play the game. They were just there to get it done with because they didn't really think they had a chance this year.
So this must have been like Alex's Christmas. Like, quite honestly,
Oh, it
like
was.
if Jason Kelce, after he retired, by the way, he retired.
Yes.
Retired would have got on the podium and would have been like, "Yeah, I can't do this anymore. We were frauds. Alex is right. He was always right, and you should watch No Reserves Radio instead of our podcast. Alex is never wrong." Like, that's the only thing that Jason could have said that would have made this day happier for you.
Yes, that would have been a miracle. And he should have done it, to be honest. I mean,
Oh my God.
it's okay to admit when like things are just that evident. It was just a disgrace, man. And this leads me to the question, what's next for the Eagles?
You
What do
think
you
they
think?
knew that this was going to be Jason Kelce's last game and they decided to play like shit?
It's like, yeah, our
They took
best
that information
player.
and they were like, "Yeah, we'll make sure this one's one you'll never forget, Jason. Don't worry, buddy."
And he was very pumped that it was going to be in a good sense. And it sort of didn't went that way. So, did you see anything from that Eagles game?
Yeah, DeVonta Smith is definitely the wide receiver that Jalen trusts.
I mean, it didn't really have another one, so
AJ Brown?
AJ Brown missed the game. He wasn't out there.
Oh, he missed the game. I
Yeah.
forgot that.
And now he's being the diva or something, because now he has removed every single thing that connects him to the Philadelphia Eagles on their on his bios and all of that. It's just that old shit show that it's
Did
coming.
they give him like a What's his contract? Didn't they just give him like 2 years ago a max
Yeah,
deal? Like,
they did. They did. So that's gonna be a fun one, huh?
so wait a minute. So right now the Philadelphia Eagles are managing Jason Kelce's retirement. They just got embarrassed in the playoff game. The city of Philadelphia is like, I listened to the clip you sent me. They're calling for everyone's heads. AJ Brown wants out. Jalen Hurts. Granted, like he was kind of hobbled. Like during the end, this is where I messed up. During the end, Jalen Hurts had like every injury on the book, it felt like. There's no way he entered that game anywhere close to 100%. And I think the fact that he only rushed it one time for 5 yards is kind of telling of that. But Jalen Hurts looked the worst he looked. Jason Kelce retired. AJ Brown wants out. The defense looked absolutely putrid. What do you do?
What's next for the Eagles? You know, honestly, it should be just that Nick Sirianni should get fired.
I don't think so. That's way too extreme.
It's funny how we forget sometimes, like how things started. Because it's like you're going on a trip, and it's like you really don't want to go on the trip. But then along the trip, like you see some fun stuff and you have fun. But when
Oh
you
my
arrive to the
God.
destination, it's like it's just as bad as you thought it was gonna be. And we forget why we didn't like things in the first. And it's like when Nick Sirianni got announced as a coach, he got some pushback. Like he was inexperienced, the whole fan base wasn't behind the hiring. Then you get the press conference, and it's like it's Adam Gase to the Jets level of bad, and
Adam Gase
people
just.
aren't happy with that. People aren't too happy. But then he gets the Colts' current head coach Shane Steichen, and he gets Gannon, the current Arizona Cardinals head coach, as coordinators for the offense and the defense, respectively. And things go pretty well. I mean, he has a stout team. Like, the team is well built. The defense is nice.
Patricia
They
been
get to a
announced
Super
fired
Bowl.
yet?
What?
Has Matt Patricia been announced fired yet? Because that should be the
no,
first.
No. I mean, I don't know how you even keep the guy employed after everything that happened on the line. But here we are. I'm shocked that the both coaches in the NFC East are still employed. But we'll get to that. And it's like, you get to the Super Bowl and it seems like all bygones are bygones. But then you reach to the destination of your trip. And it's like, this season, the season starts and there's no, like, super coordinator there to save you. Like, he makes two bad hires in both the offense and the defense. And the offense is like, they know five plays. The playbook, you know how you sometimes watch the games and it's like you watch an Andy Reid playbook and that playbook looks like a menu from a very bad restaurant that has every single dish in the world there. And it's like, yeah, whichever one you pick, you're going to get disappointed because no restaurant knows how to make and can like make in a good way, can make like, I don't know, 150 dishes. And maybe if you had looked at the Eagles play calling, like the play calling sheet, you would see maybe five dishes. So you think, okay, this is a nice restaurant. But no, this is not a restaurant. This is the NFL. And the offense knew five plays all goddamn year. And it's like, they just knew how to do that. And as Ray Lewis eviscerated the Eagles defense, Peyton Manning eviscerated the Eagles offense because they had no clue how to adjust. Like, zero blitz, no protection. Like, no extra protection. It's five guys versus seven. Coaches are just completely okay with that. No sort of, like, a dump-off opportunity for Jalen Hurts. Nothing of that. It's like, if they see zero man blitz, it's like, if they see eight, seven guys blitzing, the answer to that all season was, Jalen Hurts, you figured it out. Run for it. I don't care. It's like, you do you. That's a terrible scheme and a terrible coaching, and there's like no adjustment whatsoever. So now we get reminded why we didn't want to go in the trip for starters. And it's like, because this guy is not a good coach. All he does is just go to the media, say that he's sorry, start crying about it, or get really, really emotional as he was in the Super Bowl. But he doesn't do anything. He makes no adjustment. He made no adjustment to his coaching staff all year. It's like, it's terrible. That's terrible coaching.
So I decided, like, while you were going on your little rant, to Google Philadelphia Eagles. That's all I Googled. And one of the first things is Lane Johnson says Eagles didn't do shit to address struggles prior to playoff loss. Embarrassing.
Exactly.
Let's see.
Even the players are saying that. It's like, it's pretty visible to everyone. And I'm not even an Eagles fan. I don't follow the Eagles that closely. But just watching the games every single week, it just looked like they weren't really doing anything to improve. Like, yeah, they got to 11-1. And I just sat here and I said they were frauds. Then they won, what, one game the rest of the season or no games the rest of the season? And they get to the playoffs, they get humiliated, and I'm still here sitting and saying that they are frauds because they were frauds
the
every
Eagles
single time.
The Eagles
collapse
was
season.
Inevitable.
Oh, yeah, God. It was. It was. It's just like, and I think he should get fired, to be honest. And I'm shocked that he wasn't fired yet.
Jalen Hurts doesn't give Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni strong endorsements after playoff exit. Let's see what he said.
I mean, he shouldn't get strong endorsements either. I mean, it's like, dude, you know there were plenty of doubts about you prior to the Super Bowl. You know how you had like that one year that was pretty good. I mean, he wasn't the MVP conversation. He got to the Super Bowl. Pretty strong year. But it feels to me like a guy who got like way too overhyped. Like, we sort of forgot what he was prior to last season. Maybe
confidence
isn't all
in everyone
that.
In this building. It's just a matter of us playing clean football, and that's been something we haven't done. Was Jalen Hurts' words?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe yeah, he was just hurt. I mean, his finger and his throwing hand wasn't that good. It was really messed up.
I was about to say. Maybe I'm giving too many passes here, but I'm kind of like. You kind of saw the injuries pile up to Jalen Hurts at the end of the season. That, like, I think the fact that he finished with one rush for 5 yards is the most telling thing, like, ever. He consistently got 10 plus carries every single game going into the final weeks.
The game was just like so bad for the Eagles that they tried, I think it was just one tush push in a 2-point conversion, and the Bucks stopped it. That's how well the game went for the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't know. I think he should get fired. Sirianni should get fired. The whole staff should be fired.
So here's a question then, since this is technically a both show. If A.J. Brown goes, like, how far is the Devonta Smith hype train going to go? Like, should I get straddled up, or is it about to fall off a cliff?
Like, you know, I always was sort of a big fan for Devonta Smith. I liked him since college. You weren't that big into him because you had the concerns regarding the size, which
I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. In fact, wrong. I've acquired him in multiple leagues. That's how wrong. Yes. I admit it. I was wrong on that.
Yeah. But I'm not so sure that he is a team's number one. And he can be a team number one, but I'm not so sure that he can be. Yeah, but it's in that game, and the Bucks defense wasn't. It's not that the Bucks defense isn't good; it's that they take way too many risks when blitzing, and it opens up to the big plays that Devonta Smith got a couple.
So I have a theory. As far as, in fact, I'll wait until the Cowboys play, because this applies more to the Cowboys than it does the Eagles. So let's go on.
If we're talking about fantasy football, and while we're here, I would say that the Jason Kelce, and I'm not sure if that's been confirmed that he's retired. I believe the report was that he admitted to the teammates that he was going to retire. I think it's nothing official yet. But if he does go, I'm not so sure if that doesn't impact Jalen Hurts' value in Dynasty.
I mean, they still have Lane Johnson. They still have Jordan Mailata. I can't say his name.
Mailata,
yeah. So, I mean, they still have the semblance of a very solid offensive line.
Yeah, but, like, what really made Jalen Hurts as good of a fantasy asset was the tush push at the end of the day. It's like it's getting those 1-2 yard touchdowns. And I'm not so sure if the tush push will be as effective without Kelce.
Jason Kelce is going to announce his retirement, and he's going to be the Eagles' new offensive line coordinator.
I could see it, to be honest.
I could too. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, if there's someone that I can see that just retires and immediately gets back to football, because the dude seems to live and breathe football, it's Jason Kelce.
So one of the things, because we were talking about this, we have a separate group chat that we talk about sports sometimes, but one of the things that me, Ren, Austin, and Cameron were talking about is the Jason Kelce retirement makes sense to me. Like, Jason Kelce loves football, absolutely loves football, but he hates, like, the pageantry, the pregame suit, all that fun stuff. He doesn't like any of that. He likes the game. He just likes the game. He doesn't like the travel, and he has 3 kids and a super successful podcast, probably a top 3 podcast on Spotify as far as the sports realm goes. He's fine, regardless of if he gets a coordinator spot or not. So the retirement makes sense. Let's turn it around. How long do you think then Travis Kelce is for this NFL world?
Travis, I think he plays a few more years, but I'm not so sure.
This is what I said. I said that Travis Kelce is probably specifically saying to chase Gronk and rings. I don't see another incentive.
He won't get there, though, will he?
To Gronk?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he has an argument as far as being the GOAT tight end along with Gronk, don't you?
Yeah, I think he has an argument. I'm just not sure if he can get to Rob Gronkowski's amount of rings.
Right. He's not chasing his rings. He's chasing to get to Gronk and to get more rings.
Oh, is what I was saying. Okay. I thought you were saying that he was looking. No,
he's
for
not
the
trying to get to 6. He's trying to get more rings to solidify his argument, and he's trying to chase Gronk as far as that GOAT argument goes.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think at most it's like a couple of years, to be honest. Because he doesn't seem like the type of guy that wants to get that hurt about football. It's like he seems to always be sort of a relatively healthy guy, and he knows when not to take hits, and he's a very smart player in terms of like field awareness.
You could see that. Cameron said, tell me if you disagree with this or agree with this. Over the last year or two, Travis Kelce does not look like he has the same go that he used to in previous seasons.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that he does either. I think it is more just like, and it's tough because I'm not saying that he doesn't care about football. But I think there's definitely other priorities in his life right now. I'm not saying that football isn't at the top of the list yet or still, but it's definitely not as like a unique of a priority as it was possible.
Funny enough, I think Travis is kind of the opposite of Jason, where Jason loves the like football aspect of football. I think Travis likes more of the pageantry and the presentation. And he still loves to go out and win football games. So that's real. but as far as like game day fit, Travis is amazing.
Yeah, I think like Travis is more geared towards the out of field type of stuff around football, and Kelce is more about just like the game itself.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I think a couple more years, and I also think he calls it a career.
But yeah, I can see that.
Things can change in the NFL. Like, I don't know, maybe if they win a Super Bowl.
Things change fast in the NFL.
Maybe if they win the Super Bowl, maybe he just calls it quick. Maybe if they win the Super Bowl, he just gets even a bigger drive and wants to go for more. So, I don't know. It sort of depends. Things are just way too fluid in the NFL. Right now, I'd say maybe two more seasons of Kelce, and that's it. And I think one thing that we'll be telling is when do you see the Chiefs properly target the tight end position via the draft, for example. When you start to see those, like the cracks, that's when you know that it might be coming. So teams will tell you what they think about the players as well and what they think.
I mean, Travis has a lot of glowing things to say about Noah Gray. So depending on... I'm not sure how old Noah Gray is right now, but depending on how old he is, maybe their plan is just to do another, you know, Travis Kelce, where they get someone later in their career, you know?
We'll see
what Noah Brown is right now.
Noah,
or not Noah Brown, Noah Gray.
While we're here doing the football podcast, I think you have some other news to talk about when
he's 24. He could very well be that. At in 2 years, that'll put him at 26. That could very well be the answer.
Yeah. But as I was saying, I think you left some news to talk about in the NBA show. So, just a small teaser. I'm not sure if you've seen Twitter yet.
No, I have not.
Okay.
And now I'm Googling NBA to see what this is.
But a big trade happened. Not sure if you want to tease, so I won't say anything.
It doesn't come up when you put NBA. Let's see, NBA trade.
Huh. Okay, maybe that pops up. Or just check Woj's Twitter.
Woj's Twitter. Woj's Twitter.
I'm surprised it doesn't pop up. Yeah.
Oh! Brent is going to be a happy, happy boy.
Yeah. He's from Indiana, isn't he? Or he's a Pacers fan, I guess. So, yeah. Some more things for you guys to talk about.
That coming Sunday.
Coming Sunday. Tune in, guys. And they will discuss the trade that just happened. So
I'm going to have to do some research on that. But anyway, go on. Sorry. What were you going to... You want to keep dunking on the Philadelphia Eagles since you like doing that?
I think the Eagles are just about done here. I think they should
fire Sirianni. You beat the dead horse to the ground?
I beat the dead horse to the
ground.
Is
it dead? Like, it's not coming back, Alex? Are you sure?
Just miserable offense. Absolutely miserable defense. And this is what I thought the Eagles would be. So I feel vindicated finally.
sure about that.
And I guess we'll talk about the other game that I also feel vindicated about. Whoa. But how about them Cowboys as well, Angelo?
Yeah, how about the Cowboys?
You remember what I said about this game when we were calling it? I said, if I'm not mistaken, you will know how this game goes by the end of like the second drive of each team. Because you will know if Jordan Love is on, because when Jordan Love is on, he's probably a top 12 QB in the NFL right now. And if he's out, I mean, then you know that the Packers are out. And you saw the first drive, and it's like Love was precise with his passing. He was effective with his passing. Dallas could really stop the run. Like Aaron Jones, at some point on Wikipedia, Aaron Jones appeared as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, which was hilarious, to be honest. And like you watched the Cowboys, and you just knew it was a regular choking playoff game by the Cowboys. And it is what it is, man. It just ended up playing that way. Like the whole game never really looked like the Cowboys had any sort of chance. And much like the Eagles, it looked like the Cowboys knew that this wasn't really their year and they were frauds. So if that could come out and say just like Alex was right, all of that thing, I would appreciate it as well. But maybe it's just hard to admit, like they are known chokers. They will continue to be chokers. And this is what it is, man. It's just like Dallas isn't a good football team.
Okay. I'm going to give Dallas a little bit of flowers. At least they didn't go down like the Eagles. The Eagles look lost. Dallas at least tried to fight.
Yeah, man. The thing is, when the game mattered, the Cowboys pretty much gave no fight. Like, when that game mattered, Dak had, what, like, under 200 yards passing, two picks? So, yeah, he ends up with 400 yards, but that's like, that's empty calories. That's like, you're hearing a bunch of like junk food and you're not really gaining anything from it outside of fat. So, yeah, that's just like, it's empty calories, man. When the game mattered, they got completely blown out of the water. And Dak really didn't do anything outside of just throwing a pick six to Darnell Savage.
I'm going to keep going back to fantasy. Romeo Doubs, is his stock just like, did it just like go through the roof? Like, am I not looking at the ceiling? Is it just going to keep going?
I think it's tough. Because it's tough? I think it's a weird game. Like, Jordan Love threw the ball 21 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, Jaden Reed didn't have a single reception. And Jaden Reed is... has been, for the most part of the season, their best wide receiver.
Yep.
So I think it's just a weird game. Like, they managed to run the ball pretty well. They got the chance. They got to whatever was open. Like, there wasn't really a one wide receiver. It's just like, whichever guy was open, Jordan Love was making the play.
Yep.
And it happened to be Romeo Doubs. Next over week, maybe it
and
is.
Over and over Jaden and Reed. Over again.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good game.
Next week, maybe it's... Are you predicting the Packers to beat the 49ers?
No, I don't think they beat the 49ers. Okay. Maybe next week it's like it's Jaden Reed or it's Christian Watson or maybe it's Bo Melton or Dontavian Wicks who has the big game. I think it's really fluid with the Packers offense. I think over the course of a season, Jaden Reed is probably the guy that is the most consistent out of those.
Mm-hmm.
But like any one of these guys can have a big game. So this was just like Romeo Doubs' big week. But yeah, that leads me to, what do you do now with the Cowboys?
So one of the things that came up when I Google searched Philadelphia Eagles, which is kind of funny, is that the Dallas Cowboys will be making changes to the staff. So,
oh, no shit.
So
next
apparently
thing you're telling me that a pig can fly, man. I swear, like,
so
talking news.
Apparently, Jerry Jones not too happy with the way his season ended. But back to my theory is, so, like, there's different ways to play defense. There are, like, bend but don't break. There are, like, stifling defense. The Dallas defense was predicated on taking huge risks and getting good rewards. That's why you had one of their DBs lead the league in pick sixes. So The con of having that is you open yourself up to a bunch of big plays happening, and they just kept happening over and over and over again, and none of the risk ever paid off.
I mean, it's good to try and rationalize things, I guess.
Okay.
But that's a really fun way of saying that the way that they play defense is not playing defense.
I mean, it's true.
At the end of the day.
It's true, though.
And, I mean, if there's one thing that I'm grateful about this game, it's that I won't have Dan Quinn as the Seahawks head coach anymore, because that was a possibility. And God forbid that happened, because that would be terrible. I've seen Dan Quinn-led Falcons, and without an offensive genius in Shanahan, it went really badly. So, yeah, this is the type of defense. I mean, the Dan Quinn defense looks good on paper sometimes.
It's a basic defense. It's pretty basic.
Because they have 9 interceptions in one guy, De'Ron Bland, who is really not that good, but he gets the pick sixes. So it just masquerades.
He took risks. Just like Diggs.
Yeah, just like Diggs, it takes risks. And he has Micah Parsons, just being Micah Parsons.
Right.
So it's not that hard to coach a defense and to have like a meaningful defense on the playoffs when you have those sort of pieces around. But when you get to the playoffs, I mean, it just everything gets exposed, man. It's just everything. Like, what was the one thing that the Dallas Cowboys struggled on offense every single game this year, basically?
Running the ball.
Running the ball. What did he achieve running the ball this year, this week versus the Packers?
I believe it was 11 rushes for 56 yards and a touchdown from Tony Pollard. I forgot what everyone else said.
Actually, 15 carries, 56 yards, 3.7 yards per carry, one touchdown. Okay. Yes, okay. And a long of 11 yards. Outside of that, I mean, Dak managed to run quite
a
bit.
That's actually a pretty good long, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Especially on 56. Well, that means he was getting stifled a lot through that 11 yards.
If you take that out, it's 14 yards for what? 45 yards. It's 14 carries for 45 yards.
Yeah.
It's really bad. So, they couldn't run the ball. And when they were passing, Dak just made way too many mistakes at the end of the day. Like, yeah, I guess you can say the first pick wasn't totally on him. It was a very weak route by Brandon Cooks. But, I mean, the throw was still made, and it wasn't the greatest of throws.
What the fuck happened between him and CeeDee Lamb? Like, did they get in a fight? Like, they were like, it was like CeeDee Lamb every week. 100 yards, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, sounds. Like, and now it's just, they couldn't, like, connect. What happened?
Yeah, they were talking about a lot in the broadcast. I'm not sure if it was ever explained why it wasn't clicking that day. But, like, second half came, and it sort of clicked, but it sort of clicked in the garbage time portion of the game. Yeah. It just felt like they were out of sync. CeeDee wasn't looking like the happiest guy on earth when he was sitting down at the sidelines. Even Mike McCarthy went out to talk with him.
No.
I'm not sure what happened, man, really. Like, nothing really came out being reported of what happened. It just felt like a half game.
They just decided that this was the time they were not going to be in sync, and it was, in the playoff
probably
game.
The biggest moment.
Don't worry, guys. We secured your fantasy ring. We're just not going to secure our playoff win.
Maybe they just think this is a regular season. We'll get him next week.
We'll get him next week.
In Cancun. Psych.
Jesus.
Oh.
So Jake Ferguson, 3 touchdowns. I believe he had almost 100 yards. Maybe I'm remembering that wrong.
93.
Yeah, he had almost 100. Okay. Is his stock up or down? I'm going to talk about basically one player every game. Fuck it. There's nothing of joy that's coming out of any of these games, so I might as well.
I don't think it moved at all, to be honest. Like, if you watch the game, two of those touchdowns were in garbage time when they were down, I don't know, like 48 to
That's 20
or something. It's like the Packers weren't really even trying at that point. So I don't think it moved the needle that much. He got a few big plays, but it was like, it is what it is, man. It was didn't really change the game a whole lot. I wouldn't be shocked if it's just the same next year. I think he's a good tight end. I'm just not sure if he's consistent enough to be a top, what, 6-5 option. And if you're not a top 5 option, it's like, it's a crapshoot. A tight end, it's like, one week you can go off and have a week like this.
I think he's, as far as tight ends go, because tight end has a lot of variability from week to week, I think he was fairly consistent. Yeah, he had the dud weeks, but he had a lot of really good weeks.
Yeah, he had a lot of good weeks, but he had other weeks in which he did nothing. And I'm not saying that he lost you the week or anything like that. But it's still like, for example, if you look at the games down the line, it's like week 13, he had a 16.7 fantasy points in FPPR. He had 6 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. After that, he had 9.7, 7.4, 6.5, 5.3, 9.9. He didn't achieve double-digit points in any single one of those weeks from 14 to 18 in FBPR.
Here's the thing. The tight end position was so weak, I bet all of those, or if not two-thirds of those performances, were top 10 tight end performances. Am I wrong or right?
Yeah, maybe they were. I'm not checking that here. Okay. But like, my point is just like, it's, there's like, the best way to put it, it's like there's 20 top 10 tight ends. When you put it like that, it's like there's 20 guys who any single week can give you like 7 points or 9 points. So it's just like,
I'm not saying he's not Travis Kelce. I'm saying, like, as far as options go, there are a lot worse out there.
Yeah, there are for sure. It's just like, I don't think he's a top 5 option. And at this point, I think the star in the helmet and like the big games that he had.
Quite honestly, I don't know if I can even say that. So, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews. I'm struggling to think of consistent tight ends after that.
Laporta.
How can I forget Laporta? Laporta. And
who's your after two? After that, Kelce? Kittle?
Maybe.
Kittle was sort of consistent from the opportunity.
We'll put Kittle.
After that, who else do you have? After
do you really that, struggle to find, like, I don't know.
Hockenson?
Hard. Oh, how am I forget Hawk? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe you are. There are.
Ingram this year, for example, he had, like, 130.
Ingram had 140 catches. But I don't know if I consider him a consistent top five. But, yeah, okay. So, yeah, that is a solid top. Five.
But it's like, it's a mix of guys after top five. And it's like, guys that you trust week in, week out, and the rest, it's like, it's whatever. And at this point, you might be paying premium based on what he had on wildcard week and the star on the helmet in general. So I don't think it's really worth the price. I think if you have him, you either manage to sell off the hype. I'm not saying that you sell him at all costs, but you will sell him off the hype, or you just keep him in, but you know that the ceiling and the, like, week to week output won't be like the best in the world, won't be a top five guy. That's probably
fair. That's fair. All right, so you want to talk about another game I was wrong about? There's only one more.
No, I just wanted to end the Dallas Cowboys game with one comparison that I saw online. And since you're into NBA quite a lot, I think this one will be fun. Mike McCarthy, and let me know if you trust this or not. Mike McCarthy is the NFL's version of Doc Rivers.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, yes. I think Doc Rivers is a better coach, but yes.
It's the
context that they are trying to make, yes, 100%.
It's like, it's living off of that one Super Bowl that was carried by star players. And it's like, you're still living off of that one. You're like, you're not that great of a coach. You're a good coach at times. You sometimes overachieve on the regular season, but when you get to the playoffs, you just know it's done. You're not that guy.
That's fair. Oh, that hurts. Is Mike McCarthy fired yet?
No, it should be, but he hasn't been fired yet, which I'm surprised.
So what are these staff changes that Dallas is talking about?
Those will probably happen sometime soon. I'm not sure if they have fired anyone yet. It's funny that when sitting at the podium, Dak was like, yeah, if you're letting go of McCarty, then I should probably be on the hot seat as well. If Mike McCarty is on the hot seat, I should probably be as well. And it's
This isn't a good sign. Sports Illustrated reported 7 hours ago. Mike McCarthy job interview scheduled. Can coach avoid firing? Oh, no.
Yeah, buddy. Oh. Bye-bye.
Dan Quinn has gone from top candidate to consolation prize. Oh, that hurts.
Bye-bye, Dan Quinn. Get out of my Seahawks, please. Get out.
Oh, this is painful. Scrolling. Bye-bye. Oh, no. Oh, here's. Let me read this. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones sends clear message to players. Let's see. Jones told his players they had everything needed to win, and they can't keep allowing the way they feel currently to happen.
Maybe it starts at the top, buddy.
The scene of the Dallas Cowboys locker room clean out day on Monday was similar to Sunday's post game at AT&T Stadium. Quiet and solemn. Oh, no.
I'm just imagining the guy like packing up, not saying a word, just sitting there packing their stuff quietly.
It hasn't been 24 hours and I'm still in shock, Dallas Cowboys cornerback Jordan Lewis said. Oh, my God.
I love it, man.
It's always frustrating. The end goal for any team is to get to the Super Bowl. So for most teams like us, we always want to get to the Super Bowl. It's disappointing. It's a messed up feeling, Cowboys wide receiver Kevontae Turpin said. Everybody around here is frustrated because we weren't supposed to win.
You gotta love it, man. It's just... It's great, man. It's great. Like, the salt in the Dallas Cowboys fans. It's great. I love it. And the players, they are just like absolutely flabbergasted. And I love it. I can't wait when we're sitting here next year and it's the exact same thing.
Man, that was a good read.
Yes, the last game we need to talk about, because there's not a whole lot to say about the Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they did their thing. It's like, it's the one game which, like, you never really expected the Pittsburgh Steelers to do anything. Like, you watch that game and it's like, they never really had a chance. So, one is like, it's
whatever. They went in with Mason Rudolph in blizzard conditions. They had no chance.
Yeah. And Rudolph, to be frank and to be honest to him, he had a few nice throws that kept the Steelers on the in the game for longer than they should. But at the end of the day, it's like, it doesn't really matter, man. No one really expected. It's like, it's probably the worst team that made the playoffs. It's the Steelers. Because there's teams like, the Eagles are not a good team. The Cowboys are not a good team. But you at least knew that they had the pieces to try and make something
good. Here's a curious question for you. Obviously, it didn't work out this way, but would you have rather seen that Steelers team go into Buffalo, or would have rather seen, and maybe I'm just smoking on the copium, would you have rather seen the Jake Browning-led Bengals going into Buffalo versus the Steelers?
No, I think the Jake Browning-led Bengals would have given a bigger show. I don't think the end result would be any different. But offense played would be a bit better. So I think it would make the game a bit better overall.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think like the Steelers making it in, it's like it's the difference between good coaching and Nick Sirianni. at the end of the day.
Oh, it's the difference between good coaching and Nick Sirianni. Oh,
it's really easy to coach when you haven't been figured out yet, and like when you have the super team and everything just goes right.
Man.
But when shit hits the fan, that's when you see the truly good coaches. And it's like the
I think we just found the title of today's episode. Oh my god. The
difference between good coaching and Nick Sirianni.
Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, the difference is just like when you get figured out, it's how you adjust. And it's knowing that in this league, you don't last long unless you adjust. So you need to be constantly on it. And like Sirianni clearly wasn't. And when he got figured out and when things got rough, he just had no clue what to do. And on the other side, on like in the Pittsburgh side of the equation here and the coaching equation, it's like Tomlin is a great coach. He just wheels teams into the playoffs and into winning records when they have really no business in doing so. I mean, it's a team led by Mason Rudolph, who had Matt Canada as an offensive coordinator for most of the season. It's just like they had no TJ Watt. They had really nothing to write home about this game. And they still weren't as out on this game as the Eagles were versus the Bucks. So it is what it is, man. Maybe the Eagles should get a good coach. Bill Belichick to the Eagles. How about that?
Bill Belichick is rumored everywhere. So Bill Belichick got. We haven't talked about the latest running of firings, have we?
What?
Didn't get the Bill. We didn't talk about the Bill Belichick firing, did we?
I think we did, didn't we?
Oh, we did. Okay, we talked about that.
About the Carroll. No, we didn't get to talk about the Pete Carroll firings and all of that, did we?
No, we didn't. So let's talk about that now. We got some actual good head coaches to talk about today.
Yeah. The difference between Nick Sirianni and the great coaches now.
Yeah. So Bill Belichick got fired. He's rumored everywhere, but the biggest one is the Falcons. A, how do you feel about that? And B, where do you think the ideal fit for Bill Belichick is?
I honestly like the idea of the Falcons. I don't necessarily love that they have no like QB available right now that he can take over and make like a case for, because we've seen that developing the younger QBs and like Mac Jones, but wasn't that great for him. But maybe that's just because the team around him wasn't that great, and I think the Falcons have a better roster that he can manage, and I'm not so sure that whichever team he goes to, I'm not so sure that he has like the entirety of player personnel decisions. So I think the Falcons would be a good choice. Then I think it would be probably either the Commanders, as I've said before, I think it's like the best job available, or the Eagles, now that it's open. The sneaky one would be Dallas, because I
Eagles
just...
are open?
They will be. They will be.
They will be.
Give it time. Give it time.
This guy.
What do you think, though? Where do you think Bill Belichick lands?
That's a really, really tough call.
And do you think, like, whichever place he lands, do you think he will still have player personnel decisions? Like, he will be the GM and the coach.
So, okay, so here's my crazy theory. I think he goes to the Chargers. Because the Chargers are the Bill Belichick team. You need a good quarterback with a defense that has good players but has not been performing and is terrible in situational football. Bill Belichick is good at all those things: coaching, defense, situational football. And they have a shit cap space to boot, so it's something he's already used to. So, yeah.
So we should, what you're telling me is that he probably should go to the Cowboys or the Eagles.
Oh! Do you think that Bill would
they fit
like...
all of the descriptions?
I agree with that. I agree with that. But do you think that Bill would want to be in the spotlight of the Dallas, being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
I'm not sure why you wouldn't want to be in that position. Like, that's a pretty solid gig.
It is a solid gig, and it will be lucrative. But I'm just saying, like, Bill Belichick doesn't strike me as the guy who's foaming at the mouth to get into a post-game interview.
But you know how you beat all of those, yeah, Tom Brady made you, like, sentiment that goes around sometimes? You
How's
win
that?
The first Super Bowl with Dallas since the 1996. That's it. Oh, that's God. How you beat all of those statements. If you win the Super Bowl with the star on the helmet, like, no one will say that Brady made you. First, because the annoying Dallas Cowboys fans will come out of the
woodshed. I was
about to say,
you'll have the biggest swath of NFL fans on your side, the Cowboy fans.
Yeah, it's just like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, people
yeah,
might
it doesn't
think
matter.
The other way around. But
it doesn't matter how
enough.
Much logic you want to put into the air. You'll have two Cowboys coming at you telling you're wrong.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't really matter. So if you want to beat the allegations, that's it. Or maybe you win the Super Bowl with the Eagles and then you retire. That will get like the Eagles fan on your side. But you need to retire because the moment things go south, they will be calling for your head. So you need to retire right away. It's like you win the Super Bowl and you're out.
Who do you think is the better Bill Belichick quarterback as far as working under Bill Belichick's like mentality? Do you think that's Dak Prescott or do you think that's Jalen Hurts?
I think that's probably where you were right. In your first like spot that he lands, and I think that's Justin Herbert.
Exactly.
The answer is not is neither A or
none
B.
None of the above.
C.
The
yeah.
answer is none of the above.
That's it. Yeah, I think you were right in that sense that like the QB that works best with Bill Belichick, it's probably Herbert. Because I think Dak will lead him mad with the turnovers. Although, like, in the regular season, they didn't have as many. But when the moment mattered, like, Dak just threw them picks like he usually does. And Hurts,
I'm
not
so
sure that he can coach him
effectively. Here's what I can say, because I was thinking about this. Here's what I can say about Bill in Philadelphia. My first thought was, like, okay, would Bill accept the tush push? And then I was like, wait, yes, he would. It's a play that only they can do, generally speaking. They're stupid efficient at it, and no one else in the NFL can do it. It's right up Bill's alley. He beats that.
It's Bill's bread and jam. It's like it's his favorite thing in the world is to abuse plays that are just like
that other teams can't do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so in that sense, it would work with Philly. But I think it's a mix. I think if you're really pushing me to say between the two QBs which one would work better under Bill, I think it might be Hurts. But
I think you're right too.
I think in the end, it probably lands in Dallas. I think Jerry Jones will load up.
Oh, Jerry Jones will throw like whatever Brinkstruck needs to throw.
Like the
whatever,
dude is
yeah.
desperate for a Super Bowl before he just goes to
dies.
Goes
yeah.
to his like dying bed. So
yeah. So here's what I will say about Jalen Hurts is as far as his mentality goes. It does seem like Jalen Hurts struggles more than Dak as far as like pre-line reads and what are we going to do if they're blitzing. Like Bill will prepare you for that. So I think in that case, Bill would be better for Jalen Hurts than he would for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think so as well. It's like you really can't change Dak Prescott's tendencies. I think at this point.
So, in the same year that Bill Belichick got fired from the New England Patriots, basically my childhood is fucked. In the same year that Bill Belichick got fired from the New England Patriots, Nick Saban also retired from college football. Do you have any thoughts on Nick Saban, the Alabama head coach, retiring from college football? Because he is the most known
yeah.
college football head coach.
Like, I obviously know him. But as I usually say, I don't watch a whole lot of college football. But I think it probably means that Bama might not be that powerhouse that it once was. And it's not just because they're losing the coach. But I saw a really good argument the other day, and it's like why so many players are probably decommitting from Alabama right now. And when you go to Bama, you're playing for the school. But you're not really playing for the school. You're playing for the guy who went to your...
Saban.
Yeah, you're playing for the guy who went to your parents' living room, sat there and said that he would coach you for 3, 4, 5 years, and he would make you a great NFL prospect. And that guy is not there anymore. So that's why you see so many players decommitting right now. And I think it makes sense, and it probably affects Bama's status for the short term.
I have a really spicy take, and I'm probably going to get banned from traveling to the southern hemisphere of the United States after I say this.
Aren't you in the southern hemisphere already?
No.
No?
No. Okay. No. I'm in the Midwest. Midwest. So, I think even though it won't, this kind of like puts a tarnish on his legacy to me. It won't for everyone else, and here's why. So before the NIL money came out, he was staunch in saying that the NIL money is bad. It's making him less competitive with recruits, and he just has a problem with the whole system. I don't think he can compete in a system where you're actually paying athletes their fair wage. The people who say that, you know, the value of going to college and playing football in college is the degree are the same people that Nick Saban took advantage of all these years. Nick Saban was able to make a powerhouse when there wasn't financial incentive to go to a specific school. Now that the tides are more or less clear, then they can offer you money to come to your college. He can't do it. He can't compete. He can't field a better team. So I think he ran. That's just me personally. I get the man 70, and he's proven all he wants to prove. But I think if NIL money was not in the college football scheme right now, this man would still be coaching.
Okay, so I 100% agree that, like, being against the NIL money, it's like it's just dumb, to be honest. Like, these kids, some of them don't even make it to the NFL, and you're making hundreds of millions of dollars.
Not only that, like, a degree in America is worth a lot less than it was when, like, Nick Saban was going to college. And not only that, on top of that, there are players who are playing just to play football and make it to the next step. They don't give two shits about their degree. So what do you do about those players? Like, players deserve, if you're this good, you deserve to be financially compensated in college. My take. That's my take.
Yeah, but my issue with the point is, like, I knew that he was against the NIL money.
Yes.
But, like, couldn't Bama just offer as much money as any other, like, college? Because from what I know, they weren't willing, but it's like it's a principle thing because they probably have the money for that.
There's no way they don't, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a principle thing.
You're the most popular college team in America. There's no way you don't have the money.
And yeah, I did see someone else who agreed with you in the sense that they weren't necessarily saying that he was running from this, but they were saying that if NIL wasn't the thing, he would be coaching for longer because he just really dislikes the whole like system and the whole... I'm not sure why
because he doesn't have a monopoly on players!
Yeah, but
that's
like...
That's the thing! That's the words he's not saying. That's the meaning between the sentence. He cannot compete now.
Is it just greediness?
Yes!
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's greediness!
Okay, so the board wants to keep the money and like the whole donors who fund it want to keep more money for themselves. That's it. And he wants more money for himself, I guess.
Oh, no, it's not that he wants more money for himself. He wants a monopoly on players.
Yeah, but it's like, if you have the money, so if you were willing, you would still have the monopoly on players because you're still the most popular college in America.
Would you, though?
It's like
it's pretty hard to compete with Texas money.
Yeah, but doesn't Alabama have deeper pockets? I have no clue about any of this, like the finances. And
I
all
actually
of
want to Google this as far as what each college is worth right now. Hold on.
Like, I but would yeah, go think on. That Bama would be up there in like the richest college in terms of what they can give to the athletes because of how much they get in sponsors and all of the championships that they've won and all of that. Like, if like you would rather go to Bama than any other college, and Bama is offering you the same as any other college, why wouldn't you still go to Bama? So that's why I asked if it's greediness from either Saban, the board, the donors, all of that. Is it greediness for them because they want to keep more money from what they gain
in
the NCAA? In
September of 2022, Alabama was worth a net worth of $2.7 billion.
Okay.
Texas, by comparison. Oh my God! $42 billion.
$22 billion.
No, you have to. $42 billion.
$42 billion. Okay, I had no clue it was that like wide. Okay, then yeah, you probably that's understandable then. Yeah. But it's like wasn't even fielding that bad of a team. Like this year's team went to the like top four. Still, yeah, they lost to Michigan, right?
Yeah, Michigan, who won it all.
They lost to Michigan, won it all. But it's like Michigan probably doesn't have like the deepest pockets as well, right? They probably
are old-timey school. Oh, hold on,
yeah.
Let me look this up
now. Now we're just looking up colleges, but yeah, like Michigan
College Network. Yeah.
I know some colleges, and like in my mind, it would be like Bama, Michigan, Texas, for example. But it's clearly not.
$17 billion.
Yeah. So it's Texas, it's Michigan, and it's Bama, apparently. Wow, Bama is really low compared to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it just because they're a small town? They're not that big of a town, are they?
Yeah, Alabama's a pretty bad state in the US, quite honestly.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah, no, this once again confirms my theory. Alabama is not like a powerhouse school as far as funds go. So they basically lose their whatever five-state monopoly that they had by saying that they're Alabama. Okay, I'm Texas. Here's $1 million. That's a drop in the bucket to them.
Yeah, that's true. And it's surprising that it wasn't like a net coaching gig that immediately got a bunch of coaches riled up to go for.
How much did Nick Saban make in his final year?
It was like Lanning's, I know that the Oregon coach.
He made $11 million in his final year.
That's a lot of dough.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it wasn't like such a sought after job. Like Lanning's, for example, was a name that I heard a lot, and apparently was just okay sitting at Oregon. So I'm surprised that they filled the position now with the Washington coach. But I'm still surprised that they couldn't get like a bigger name. And maybe that's just it. Maybe they just can't compete in this NIL day.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you're onto something there. And since we're talking about college football, Harbaugh won what he needed to win with Michigan. He won the big one.
He has
two interviews already done. He has already interviewed with the Falcons, and he interviewed with the Chargers. The Chargers was actually the first interview. So do you think this is finally the time in which
this is going to be a really fun fucking offseason, dude?
Yeah. Do you think both Harbaughs got you in the NFL next year?
I was about to say, we got Jim Harbaugh interviewing. We got Bill Belichick interviewing. If Pete wants to stay around, we got Pete Carroll interview. Like, we got a lot of fucking good coaches interviewing.
I think Pete probably takes like a break this year, but I think he coaches somewhere next year. The Pete firing was surprising to me. Because I really didn't expect him. I thought he wouldn't be let go of, although like it was pretty ceremonious. Like they didn't really fire him or anything. They said that he would be transitioning to the front office or to the upper management. I think it was just like from what I heard from Pete in his press conference, feels like he was more pushed towards the front door, not the front office. And I think he will stay there a year and then he goes coaching somewhere. I just thought that they maybe would just like let him be another year. And then next year, the contract was up and they would just let him go that way. Like they weren't going to bring him back. But I'm surprised they fired him because I'm not seeing a coach that you can bring in that is realistic, that you can bring in and it's better than Pete. Because I don't think like Arbo is a realistic signing for the Seahawks. And I don't think Belichick would be.
You guys aren't a big, like, as far as market.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think you get like an Arbo because you don't have like a Justin Herbert or like Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts, any of that. And you don't have the big market. So I think you're kind
Call
of
me
like
crazy. Call me crazy. You ready for this?
What?
You guys are going to hire Brian Callahan.
Ooh. Do you think so?
I think so.
I'm not necessarily sure that I like that. Should I like that?
He's the Bengals offensive coordinator.
Yeah. I was actually thinking that a guy that we might realistically get, and this is why I don't understand moving off of Pete Carroll, because I think this coach will be in the same line of Pete and is not as good as Pete. It's Mike Vrabel.
Vrabel!
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think now that the New
Vrabel
England
does
coaching,
strike me as a Seahawks coach.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? But it's like it's just like a younger, probably worse Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. That's hard. I think they're about the same.
Yeah, I think like Carroll, just based on what he achieved so far, probably better. Maybe like at this point in time, it's the gap isn't that big, but I think it's like it's a sideways move at best.
Yes.
And apparently, one of the reasons in which he left the Tennessee Titans was because he wanted more roster control. I'm not sure if, like, now that John Schneider has, like, final saying on the players for the first time in his, like, whole career, I'm not sure if he will give that up to Vrabel. But I think Vrabel has seen that, like, in Seattle, you can work, like, side to side and, like, the relationship will flow beautifully. And I think that will, like, make the decision easier for him to go to Seattle, even though he might not have final saying, he will have a lot of input that will be like fairly well considered.
Yeah.
So I think Vrabel will be probably the guy that gets the job now that Mayo has taken off the New England Patriots job, which I think is weird.
So here's interesting then. Here's something I didn't think about then. Are you saying that the A.J. Brown deal was not something Vrabel was on board with?
No, I think he definitely wasn't. I think the whole last, like, 2 years, he wasn't really in any sort of control of roster decisions.
That's crazy.
I know for sure this last year he wasn't, because that's when they got the new GM. But I'm not so sure if he got any saying on the A.J. Brown trade either, to be honest. I think it was a numbers move.
Oh, yeah, of course. It was to save money. But
yeah. And, like, no coach wants that.
Yeah. Huh.
But, yeah. I think it's going to be Vrabel right now. I might be wrong. I don't really see any links to it. I just think, like, philosophically, I think he would be the sort of coach that gets a big consideration from the Seahawks. And it's like, he's not from a huge market either, and I'm not so sure that he is like the main candidate for some of these teams, in which the Seahawks, I think, he's used to the small market, and yep. I think he just fits with the team.
Call me stupid, call me crazy. Call me stupid and call me crazy. What if he goes back to New England?
Who?
Vrabel.
No, I'm saying Vrabel because the New England position has been filled.
By whom?
Jared Mayo.
I didn't see this.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
They hired him. Like, I believe it was either during the weekend or on Friday. It was something like that.
Oh, when my furnace was out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they hired him straight away. Like, didn't really give much consideration to it. Yeah. Gerard That's why Mayo, I'm saying yeah. Vrabel. Because I thought that Vrabel would be a shoo-in for the Patriots. Like, there's a lot of connections there. But apparently, like...
That's crazy.
It was set in stone that it was Jared Mayo. And I'm not so sure that it's a great pick. But yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, he does have history with New England, but that is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he has been coaching under Bill for quite a while. But I'm not so sure if he's, like, the right play right now.
Six things we learned from Jared Mayo's introduction as the New England Patriots head coach. Let's see. Mayo sees himself as a teacher first and foremost. Mayo calls Robert Kraft Thunder. I'm not even sure what the hell that means. Mayo does not want to be Bill Belichick. No fucking shit.
Oh my God.
Mayo wants players to take ownership of the program. I'm guessing that means we're going to see a lot more looser, like, as far as, like, being able to show your own personality. He's going to be more player-friendly is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Everything is up for evaluation and change.
It honestly looks like a train wreck incoming.
Robert Kraft vows not to get involved in football decisions. Does that mean Mayo also is the GM?
No, they probably sign a GM, but it's like there won't be meddling from the owner.
There has been rumors about team owners Robert and Jonathan Kraft having started to get more involved with football operations over the past few years and ultimately led to Bill Belichick and the team agreeing to part ways. However, Kraft vowed not to get involved. We try to hire the best people we can find and let them do their job and hold them accountable. If you get involved and tell them what to do or try to influence, then you can't hold them responsible and have them accountable. It's just, okay, that's kind of ominous. That's kind of like saying, like, okay, Mayo, if you fuck up, we're going to get you. Like, I don't know.
It's just an odd signing. It's like, I understand it's New England. He has been with New England for a while now, coaching. He spent his whole career in New England. I understand all that, but it's like he's an inside linebackers coach who has really no experience in play calling, and they didn't even wait for the GM to get on board. So now you're giving whichever GM comes on board a coach already that isn't his decision. So that only makes the job less appealing.
I think Mayo might be... I don't know how you can do that, though. I think Mayo might be in charge of operations, too.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it. I think they have seen how that went with Bill, and I'm not sure if they will put, like, a guy who's coaching for the first time as a head coach all of those decisions on his plate.
Let's see. New England general manager. Oh, there's a rumor that there's an executive inside of the New England facility that could get a promotion. Oh, no. Here we go. NBC Boston Patriots not expected to bring in new GM.
Yeah, but new GM. So it's, as you said, someone inside the house who gets the promotion. You can read it that way.
Here's what I'm told about the Patriots front office situation. They are not expecting to bring in a new general manager. It's anticipated by team sources that both Matt Groh and Elliot Wolf will remain with the Patriots and have prominent roles in personnel. Okay. So
yeah,
they will work alongside Mayo to make decisions as far as... Okay.
Gotcha. They will have a That's figure fair. Or two as GMs. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it's gonna be an interesting hiring circle, I guess. And one that I'll finally be a part of. That's the first time that I've ever had a coach change in my team since I've been following them.
What do you think that means for players like Kenneth Walker and JSN, and specifically, honestly, someone like Geno Smith and Drew Lock?
Depends on the coach, really. Because that changed the whole scheme. Like, if it's a Mike Vrabel, I think I would be pretty happy about Kenneth Walker, to be honest. Because I think he will have him run, like, as the one, and there will be really no meddling. Maybe it's just closer to Pete, to be honest, though. Because I'm thinking about it, and it's like... his reluctantness and how he was reluctant to like pass the ball to Derrick Henry and how he would always take him out on passing downs. Yeah. I think Kenneth Walker is a bit better in passing downs than Derrick Henry was, but I'm not sure if it's enough to the point in which Vrabel will change his ways.
You're saying but I still that would be excited Zach about Chardonnay it. Could be a thing?
No.
No,
like, he will be the same thing as any other like Tennessee Titans backup running
good.
Back.
Tajay Spears looks really good
prior to Tajay Spears.
Okay.
You don't let me finish, Angelo.
Yeah,
but we shall see. We shall see what happens.
Speaking of Tajay Spears, like, are you buying Tajay Spears, selling them? Is his like stock about to skyrocket? Like, what do you got?
I think you're better off selling him, like, that's when fair. The hype hits, because he has the knee issues. He has the same knee issue, I believe, as Todd Gurley. I don't think he has any cartilage on the knee, so it's gonna be like a steep decline when it happens. And I'm not sure if the Titans will be a good enough offense for me to hold on to that running back.
That's fair.
So I think when the hype hits, and when it's
I was
sure
actually,
that we won't bring
like,
another guy.
I'm not going to lie. When Derrick Henry's like signs and it's not the Titans, I'm probably going to immediately put Tajay Spears in the trade block.
I think that's a smart move. I'm not saying trade him for a random pick, but you can get other players that are probably as productive.
More wide receivers for me!
Yeah. And they have longer shelf lives, like wide receivers. And even some running backs who have longer shelf lives.
My wide receivers are so deep, I might have to, like, just... I don't know.
Go for another running back. If you're win now, trade for a better win now piece. If you're rebuilding, trade for a better rebuild piece. Like, Tajay's just whatever. It's like in a weird limbo, which he probably won't be good enough for you to, like, really be competing. He won't be the piece that you need for competing. And he probably won't last long enough for you to be in a rebuild, so.
Oh, I'm not in a rebuild.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, in general.
That's fair.
Okay.
You know, Link still hasn't gotten back to me about where he wants his stupid trophy. Or belt.
Need to push him further, but I guess I can get in touch via Discord as well.
Like, I'm not going to lie, I look every, like, 3 or 4 days to see if I have any new DMs, and I never have any. I was like, he'll get to me when he gets to me.
Yeah.
You know?
It is what it is.
Yeah. I think that's the show. That was a good show.
No. We're missing two things here.
No. That's the show. Go on.
No. We're missing the predictions, Angelo.
No, yeah.
So recap from last week. After I said that we should probably do this thing for my redemption. First week of the playoffs, I went 5-1 in the picks. I only got Cleveland wrong. You went 1-5, Angelo. And not only that, but when picking straight up, when you made our playoff predictions, you got the AFC almost right. You got Buffalo right. You got KC right. You messed up Cleveland. And then you messed up the whole NFC, which means that your picks in the NFC are all over the place, my guy. All over the place. But technically, you still have the two Super Bowl picks playing because you picked KC versus San Francisco. So both are still alive right now. I'm not sure if you want to redo any of those picks.
No.
No? Okay, so we'll just jump straight into the predictions then for the week.
I mean, if you want me to completely redo the NFC, I can.
But do you want to?
My AFC just goes as follows. Houston knocks off Baltimore. Kansas City knocks off Buffalo. Kansas City beats Houston. That doesn't change, but...
Okay.
I don't even know.
And the NFC?
I don't even know what the NFC matchup
is. NFC, it's Packers at San Francisco 49ers, and it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Detroit Lions.
I don't know who to pick.
Oh, buddy.
Give me the Bucks. Screw it.
Bucks. Okay.
You going to call them fraudulent too?
I mean, they are, but they are not as... It's not that they're fraudulent. They are what they are. It's like they are not a great team. But they can string things along. I think they get absolutely beaten this week by Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And okay, so then it's Tampa Bay at San Francisco. And who do you have?
San Fran, of course.
San Fran, and the Super Bowl winner is?
San Fran.
All right. So I can't wait for us to redo this again next week. After you fail all the picks again.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so divisional round of the playoffs.
Yeah, you can. I don't even have the thing in front of me. You can just read them off.
Okay. Okay, so first one, Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens are 9.5-point favorites. Uh-huh. Over-under is 43.5. Who do you have, Angelo?
Give me the Texans!
The Texans! Houston Texans.
With upset alert!
An upset alert.
Upset alert!
So Houston plus 9.5 for you.
Who do you have?
I think that's the end of CJ Stroud's Cinderella season. Was a great season by Stroud, more than I expected, but give me Baltimore minus 9.5. Next up, the Green Bay Packers at the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are 9.5-point favorite. Over-under is 50.5. And honestly, give me the Packers plus 9.5. I think the Niners win the game. But give me the 9.5. I think that's a whole lot of points for a team that is...
Actually, no. You know what? Fuck you and fuck that. Give me the San Francisco 49ers to sacrifice the Green Bay Packers.
I'm not sure if a sacrifice will happen this week.
Sacrifice is happening this week.
Okay, next up, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Detroit Lions. Lions are 6.5-point favorites. Over-under is 48.5. And who do you have?
Give me the Buccaneers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Plus 6.5. Yeah, I'm going to go against you here as well. Give me the Detroit Lions minus 6.5. I think it's a big beating. And the Lions go to the championship game.
Gross.
And finally, the game of the week, the Kansas City Chiefs at Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, 2.5-point favorites. Over-under is 45 points on the dot.
Oh.
And, as I said prior, the Bills are putting the scary man to rest this year. This is not Mahomes' year. Not taking anything away from him, but this is not his year. So give me Buffalo minus 2.5.
John Wick's going to strike Buffalo again. Give me Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Okay.
Talked about the Patriots so much, I almost said the Patriots.
That's it then. The picks are in. Another four teams that you've cursed this week. I hope you're happy about it. Four teams cursed.
Four teams that I cursed this guy.
And
what will you do if the Packers beat the 49ers?
Nothing major, to be honest. I think I think the Packers are probably the sneakiest team here. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if this team made the Super Bowl for some reason. Because when they get hot, LaFleur has been putting on a master in terms of coaching. Like, he has been sublime as a coach this year. And I think it's showing in the first game of the playoffs. So I wouldn't really be shocked. Like, the only thing that would shock me if the defense just started to play lights out all the remaining games.
Decided to play lights out.
Yeah, because they've been terrible all year. So that's the one main concern that I have with the Packers. But outside of that, like, when they are on...
The shocking thing is if the Packers play good defense in the playoffs. Yeah,
if the Packers play defense.
Oh, Lord.
Because outside of that, like, when Jordan Love is on, I've said this before and I'll say it again, he is probably a top 12 guy in the league.
Oh.
Yeah, now you can say that it's the show.
It's the show. You take us out. I'm done.
All right, then. As Angelo usually says, he's in a bad mood today because things got rough. There's a nice little fancy donate button right there that you can click to help us out. If you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, if you're listening on the Spotify app, just leave us a 5-star review. Turn on the auto-download as well. That really helps. If you're listening on YouTube, just like, subscribe, turn on the notifications. And yeah, subscribe to the channel. I'm pretty sure that I've said that, but I'll say it again. And yeah. Hope you enjoyed the first week of the playoffs, guys. There's a whole lot more coming in. The offseason is looking wild right now with all of these coachings available. All of these coaches available. And yeah, tune in next week to see how much Angelo has screwed these four teams. See you next week, guys.
Fuck you, Alex.